Well, it's good for us to read from God's Word, and this morning we're reading from a very small book in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you're reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, that's these brown Bibles, some of them are NIV, I've been told, so it's particularly this version you're looking for, New King James Version, you'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, on page 1156, page 1156. So that's where I'm reading from this morning. If you are reading from the NIV, it'd be slightly different from the words that I'm reading. But in the blue or sometimes the red NIVs, you'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 on page 1187. So 1156 or 1187, that's roughly where you need to look to read God's Word. So let us hear the Word of God from 1 Thessalonians. We're starting in chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. Let's hear God's Word. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavoured more eagerly to see your faiths with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow labourer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We thank God for the reading of his word. One verse that I want us to think about together this morning is 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. It reads like this, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Let me explain why I've chosen this verse. The last Sunday of the year is always a good time for us to look back over the year that has passed. It's also a good time for us to look forward to the year that we're about to begin. So this morning, I felt that it was good for us to look back, and this evening, we will be looking forward. So do come back again this evening as we look forward to the new year. But this morning, we're looking back. And as we look back over a year, for very many of us, it will be a year when we will remember that we have been through some difficult times. I don't think there are many people here this morning who haven't had a pretty tough time over the last year. There have been trials to go through. For some of us, it has been the trial of having a diagnosis that was unexpected and that in many ways is life-changing. For others, it has been a difficult situation to pass through in family life, where we have gone through trials and difficulties. For others, it's been to do with work and the difficulties of work, the pressures that are upon us because of the work that we do, and perhaps the uncertainties for the future because of the economic climate in which we live. For some, it has been a tough thing that's happened to us that we haven't looked for or even deserved, and it's come our way, and we have felt perhaps the unfairness of the world in which we live. And of course, for several families, it has been a time when they have been bereaved, and there's been the loss of someone very dear, sometimes expected, but even if it's expected, it's hard when it comes, and the separation is just as painful. And for others, it's been an unexpected and sad thing. And the Bible embraces all of these experiences in one little word, afflictions, afflictions. Now, you find it there in our text this morning, and that's why I want to take you there today, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. An affliction is anything that is hard to bear. It is something that is done to us. It is something that comes into our lives, and it is something that we have to bear and endure. It can sometimes be translated trial, a difficulty that we go through. A testing time when we are tested often to the limit of our ability to cope. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul is speaking about. So before we plunge into the verse and try and understand what it means for us, let's understand what Paul, the Apostle, is actually saying. Paul desperately wanted to go and visit his friends in a little town called Thessalonica. He wanted to go and see them again because he had good memories of being there the first time. It was in Thessalonica that he met some people who became believers in the Lord Jesus, and a little church started there. And he loved that church, and he and his friends are at this point in Athens, in Greece. And they are in Athens, again, telling people about the Lord Jesus. But he wants to leave Athens and take a trip to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was in Macedonia, which is north of Greece. It wasn't very far, but for some reason, Paul wasn't able to leave Athens and go to Thessalonica. But he was very worried about them. He wanted to know how they were getting on. And so he considered his priorities. He had a love and a concern for the people in Thessalonica because he knew that they were going through some difficult times. He knew the church there. And just as we might know people in other churches and we say, well, they're going through a tough time at the moment. He knew that there were people in Thessalonica who were going through a tough time. He loved them. He was concerned about them. But he couldn't leave Athens. So he decided to do the next best thing, which was to send Timothy. So he sent Timothy from Athens to Thessalonica to find out how things were going, to strengthen their faith, and then to bring back a report. And that is what happened. Now, Paul is saying, he's giving a little report now to them about what happened when Timothy came back. Because Timothy brought a good report and said that they were doing well, they were comforted in all of their trials, and they were going on in faith. Their faith was being strengthened. Now, in our text, what Paul tells us is something that he knew about afflictions. He was no stranger to afflictions. There's one place in the Bible where Paul makes a list of all the troubles that he went through. He was shipwrecked on a number of occasions. He was flogged and left for dead on a number of occasions. He was put in prison on a number of occasions. He put up with people insulting him. He was stoned on a number of occasions. He knew what it was to suffer because he was a Christian. Now, that all taught him certain things about afflictions, things that we need to know as well. As we look back over a year, when many of us will say, we can even say, well, it's a year that I would rather forget. Sometimes we have years like that, don't we? We say, well, that's a year that I'm going to remember that this happened and that happened, the other happened. Of course, we also look back and we need to consciously remind ourselves of the joys, because it's far easier to remember the troubles than it is to remember the joys. So you do need to sit down sometime during the week and, as that lovely hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So do that. If you keep a diary, look back over your diary and you'll be able to see some times when God has been good to you and when you have experienced the joys of what it means to be living in a relationship of faith in the Lord Jesus. But there are trials as well that we look back on. So here in this verse then, and the surrounding verses, I want to share with you five things that Paul knew about trials. It don't take long. Five things that Paul knew about trials. The first thing he knew was this. Trials can be unsettling. Trials can be unsettling. That was what Paul was trying to prevent in this little church in Thessalonica. He didn't want people to be unsettled. He didn't want them to be all agitated and shaken by these things. Shaken is the best word there, really. We have it there in our version, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. There are all sorts of troubles that come to us, and these troubles can shake us. They sometimes shake us to the core. Troubles that we experience in churches, particularly young churches, often experience troubles and difficulties in getting started. They can face hardships and they can face opposition. They can be persecuted, and there are many Christians we know in the world today who are being persecuted because of their faith. We know that what is happening in Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq is all having an effect on the churches in the area. And even in our own nation, there are pressures that come to bear on churches. And these pressures then overflow into family life, and there can be family trials to go through, heartaches and difficult decisions to make. There can be personal trials as well as we suffer in this world. So there are church problems, there are family problems, there are personal problems. The great danger, Paul knew, was that these can be unsettling. These can shake us. The word that Paul uses there for shaken is the same word that you would use for the shaking of a dog's tail. It's a Greek word that they would use to describe the way that a dog's tail moves about. Now, you imagine yourself hanging on to a dog's tail as the dog is wagging its tail backwards and forwards, and you are being moved backwards and forwards as you hang on to this dog's tail. And dogs, when they're happy, they shake their tails a lot. And we can feel ourselves going backwards and forwards as we're shaken both this way and that way. And we wonder what is happening. The whole world seems to be falling apart. Mentally being shaken by the difficulties. Perhaps beginning to doubt. Perhaps even being tempted to fall away from our faith in God. Being blown about by all the difficulties. So there's the first thing that Paul knew, and that's true for you and me as well. When you go through a difficulty, when an affliction comes into your life, that is the great danger. It can be very unsettling. It can shake you. And Paul understood that. He doesn't want that to happen. The second thing that Paul knew is that when we are undergoing afflictions, we need to be strengthened and we need to be encouraged. That is our great need. It's very difficult to stop a dog wagging its tail. You can do it by talking very sternly to the dog, because the dog will stop then. But when we are being shaken about, it's very difficult for us to be still. What we need is to be strengthened and encouraged. And that's what Paul says in verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 3. We sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow labourer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, that word means to strengthen, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. They needed to be strengthened and encouraged. Now, if you're not a Christian, the question is, where do you get your strength and encouragement from? Sometimes people try to get their encouragement from escapism. They just try to escape the realities. They get themselves buried into something that is perhaps just make-believe, perhaps a film, a story, just something to take their mind off the difficulties. And to a certain extent, the Christmas time is a time when people try to escape the realities, and they try to just get involved in all the party atmosphere and all the hype and the enjoyment of a time, just to get away from the difficulties of life. Escapism is something that we are pretty good at in our generation and in our century. Or sometimes people try to get their encouragement from a false hope. Just saying, well, everything will be all right. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Things will turn out for the good. But we know that these things don't really deal with the central problem. They don't really strengthen us. They don't really encourage us, because we're still left feeling, well, I've still got that problem in my life. But for Christians, for believers in Jesus, we are strengthened and encouraged in our faith. You notice that? It's not just a vague strengthening and encouragement. To establish and encourage you concerning your faith. That is the place where we need to be strengthened. You and I need to be strong in faith. We need to be encouraged in our faith. We need to keep going in the Christian life. And we need to keep holding on to God. We need to keep on holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ, to our faith in him. So there's the second thing that Paul knew. First of all, he knew that afflictions can shake you. But secondly, he knew that you need strength and encouragement in your faith in times of affliction. Because after all, it's your faith that's going to be challenged. Even if it's not said to you personally, it will be in your mind. Can I really carry on trusting God when all of this is happening to me? Well, the third thing that Paul knew was this. This help is given through people. He knew that. Help is given through other people. Paul could have said to them, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God will strengthen you. I'm praying that God will encourage you. I'm praying for you. He could have said that, and of course there's nothing wrong in that. But it's not enough. It's actually not God's way either. God's way of strengthening and encouraging you and me is by using people. And Paul knew this. Paul knew that you and I need someone to come alongside us and to say, keep going, keep believing, keep trusting. And so he sent Timothy. He sent Timothy. God usually uses people. He doesn't have to. Of course, we've got to say this. God doesn't have to use people. He can always do things directly. And often he does. In fact, there's a lovely prayer in Romans chapter 16 that ask God to do it directly. And it's not a wrong thing for us to pray that God will strengthen people. Romans 16 and verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. There's a lovely prayer asking that God would establish people, strengthen them. But you notice even there, he does it through the gospel. He does it through the mystery revealed in the Bible. He does it through the prophetic scriptures. God uses people generally. What sort of people does God use? You might be there this morning and you might be saying, well, I'd like to help somebody. I'd really like to strengthen and encourage somebody. You might be saying, well, I know people who are going through some pretty difficult times. How can I help them? Well, what sort of a person does God use? Well, he used someone like Timothy. And who is he? He is a brother. Our brother. Well, of course, he wasn't, humanly speaking, Paul's brother. But he was a brother in the Lord Jesus. It's the way that Christians talk about each other, isn't it? They talk about each other as brothers and sisters because we have been brought into the same family. So if you're going to be an encouragement and a strength to someone, the first thing that's needed is that you need to be a Christian. You won't be able to encourage somebody else in their faith if you haven't got faith yourself. The first thing that you need is to have faith in Jesus. You need to believe and trust in him. We've been through Christmas and we've learnt about Jesus coming into the world and we've learnt what the Bible teaches about Jesus. Supremely, the message of Christmas is this: a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Christians believe, first of all, that Jesus is God. Secondly, Christians believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. That Jesus died in their place. He is their Saviour, in other words. He has paid the price for our sins. He has forgiven us of our sins. And we have asked him to do that. We have put our faith in him and we've asked him to forgive our sins. And thirdly, Christians believe that Jesus rose again from the dead. That he is alive now and that he can be with us in our lives now, changing and transforming the way we think, the way we feel, the way we behave. That's what it means to be a Christian. Christian is someone who has faith in the Lord Jesus as God, as Saviour, as the risen Lord. And Jesus is in our lives. Now, once you're like that, you're a brother or a sister. You've joined the family of God. God has been at work in your life. So if you're going to encourage and strengthen someone else, the first thing that's necessary is that you need to have faith. And it may be that that's just what you need to hear this morning. It may be that's all you need to hear. That you need to go to Jesus and put your faith and trust in him alone. And then it says here that he is a minister of God, a servant of God, and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. These are the people that God uses. People who work for Jesus. People who work together for Jesus. People who love Jesus and want to serve him. That was what Timothy was like. He was a great helper. He was an active believer. He was a fellow worker in God's family. And he was the sort of person that could be used to go and encourage and strengthen people's faith. There's a challenge for us this morning. Are you, am I, like that? Are we the sort of Christian who can get alongside somebody in order to strengthen and encourage them with the right sort of word to keep them going in a time of affliction? Third thing that Paul knew is that God usually uses people to strengthen and encourage those who are going through afflictions. So he knew then that trials can be unsettling and you can be shaken. He knew that you needed to be strengthened and encouraged in a time of affliction. He knew that the way for this to happen is through people. Fourthly, he knew that afflictions should never be unexpected. They should never be unexpected. They can sometimes surprise us, of course. In fact, we're often surprised. We don't know what a day may bring forth. We're not sure what the year will bring forth. Many of us were here on the last Sunday of 2014. And we were looking into God's word together then. We had no idea what was going to happen in the 12 months between then and now. It's a good thing we didn't. That would have been terrible. We thank God that he's given us limited understanding. You know, some people say, oh, I wish I knew what the future was. No, you don't. If you knew what the future was, you wouldn't want to go there. Because we need to face things as they come. They can surprise us. On the other hand, they should never be unexpected. Because Paul expected to go through afflictions. In fact, the Lord Jesus expected us to go through afflictions. Do you remember that lovely parable that he told of the seed? The parable of the sower who went out to sow the seed. And do you remember that he talks about the seed that falls on the rocky ground? And what Jesus says is this: when trouble or persecution comes because of the word. Matthew 13, verse 21. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word. He doesn't say if. He doesn't say if trouble or persecution comes. He says when it comes. In other words, it will. If you become a Christian, the one thing that is absolutely certain is that you're going to have trouble. You're going to go through difficulties. Your life is not going to be smooth from now on. Becoming a Christian means that you are in a life where there will be difficulties, peculiar difficulties, because you're a Christian. They shouldn't be unexpected. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That comes in John chapter 16, if you want to find it. In the world you will have trouble. Jesus promised it. Paul, the apostle, when he was traveling around all these little churches, he said to them that they would go through difficulties. They would go through hardships. Because that is the very nature of being a Christian, of being a church. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. He says that there will be hardships, there will be troubles to go through. There's no such thing in the Christian life as health, wealth and prosperity. There are some people who preach a gospel like that, but they're liars. And they're false prophets. And they're telling you lies. If someone tells you that you become a Christian and you'll always be healthy, you'll always be wealthy, and you'll always be prosperous, they're telling you a lie, because that isn't the Christian life. We should expect there to be afflictions and troubles. That's the very nature of what it means to be a Christian. Of course there are joys. Of course there are many happinesses. Of course there is no better life to live in this world now and in the world to come than to be a Christian and a believer in Jesus. But make no mistake, trials are to be expected. Paul knew that. And the fifth thing that Paul knew is that when you're undergoing trials, you should always remember that the tempter is active. The devil, Satan, is always going to try to use an affliction in order to knock you off course. That's what he does. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices, because he hasn't got any new ones. He uses the old ones again and again. And one that he uses is that when you're going through a time of difficulty in your life, when you're going through a time of trial or affliction, he will try to knock you out of sync. He will try to knock you out of faith. He will try to stop you believing. He will definitely stop you coming to church. If he can possibly do that, he will stop you coming to church. Because he knows it's when you're here that you will be strengthened and encouraged by other Christians. He knows that when you're here, other Christians will talk to you. They will pray for you. They will have a word of encouragement. They will sympathize with you. It's here that you will hear God's word. So the first thing you try and do is stop you coming to church. And he will try to challenge your faith. So we mustn't be unaware of that. He will try to knock you off course. It's his way. And that's why Paul says here, for this reason, verse 5, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. So when you're going through a difficult time, remember, the temptation is going to be to give up believing, to give up meeting, to give up the Christian life. But remember this also, our Lord is mightier than the devil. He has already defeated him on the cross. And our faith, your faith, is given by God. So it can't ever be taken away. But it can be strengthened. And you can be strengthened. And you can be encouraged. And then in turn, you will be able to comfort and encourage others. So the message this morning from this verse is, don't be unsettled when you go through afflictions and trials. When you look back over the year and see that there have been difficulties for you to face, trials for you to go through, afflictions for you to bear, don't be unsettled by them. Don't be shaken by them. But be encouraged, be strengthened, because you are in the right place with your faith in Jesus. There is no one else to go to. As we were looking at just 2 weeks ago, Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There is no one else to turn to other than Jesus. Our faith can emerge through trials like gold refined in the fire. And we discover that our faith is strong. And in turn, we can help others. That no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. Well, may God bless his word to all of our hearts.